Japan is trying to orchestrate a very complicated economic symphony.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. Japan has a problem. Very high government debt, 230% of its entire gross domestic product. So next spring, to raise money, it'll increase the national sales tax to 8%, 10% the year after. Paying off massive debt seems prudent, but to avoid slowing the economy with higher taxes, Japanese officials in the next day or so will propose a big package of government spending, $53 billion. The BBC's Rupert Wingfield Hayes is watching this apparent paradox from Tokyo. Good morning, Rupert.
Good morning, David.
Now, when you raise taxes, problem is you can slow down the economy, which is also something that the Japanese economy does not need at this point.
The Japanese government has spent the last year trying to get Japan to grow again by printing lots of money, spending lots of money, and it started to work. The last thing the government now wants is for that growth to suddenly be killed off. And so what it's decided to do is to also, at the same time as raising tax, spend an awful lot more money, around about $52-53 billion next year, to offset the money that will be taken out of the economy by this new sales tax.
Seems counterintuitive, doesn't it? In other words, you want to raise money to pay off some bills, so you spend money to avoid dragging down the economy. I mean, someone has figured out that net, this is good for the Japanese economy.
The idea is that come 2015 and 2016, that they will reduce the amount of stimulus and people will get used to the new higher rates of tax and they will not be deterred from spending. But I have to say, a lot of Japanese people I know are already going out and buying cars or buying houses and doing these things now to get in ahead of the tax rise. And the fear is that once the new tax comes in April, everybody will stop spending.
The BBC's Rupert Wingfield Hayes in Tokyo, thank you very much.
Thank you, David.
This morning, a judge in Detroit will decide if that city is eligible for bankruptcy protection, for which it filed back in July. Marketplace's David Gura reports.
Detroit's had something of a reprieve these last few months, says David Skeel, a bankruptcy expert currently teaching at NYU Law School.
Creditors have to stop trying to collect what they are owed, and Detroit also stopped paying a number of its obligations.
That could change if Judge Stephen Rhodes decides the city is ineligible for bankruptcy protection.
Everybody would be banging at the door.
The Motor City has tens of thousands of creditors, and losing bankruptcy protection would have another effect.
Detroit would likely be unable to borrow money to help it get through the crisis.
If the city does get bankruptcy protection, its emergency manager would draft a restructuring proposal.
And that's really going to be, okay, who are we going to pay? How much are we going to pay them?
Eric Scorzoni researches government finance at Michigan State. He says there's one thing the creditors all know.
It's pretty clear-cut. Detroit is, you know, insolvent.
And he says that's in large part because of pension obligations. I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
Now let's do the numbers. The FT 100 in London is down 0.8% right now. Stock index futures in the U.S. are down. Japan's Nikkei closed up 0.6% with all that talk of economic stimulus. Tell you, the Great Recession was an especially cruel blow to young people who are trying to break into the workforce. Many faced long stretches of unemployment. Of those who did find jobs, many made less and will continue to make less for years. As Marketplace's Sabri Benishore reports, that experience has also shaped the way younger people view the world.
Remember when there was a plan for life?
You go into school with this idea that if you have a degree,
you get a full-time job that gives you health care and
that you like.
You know, I've gotten a college degree for something.
But real life catches up to you real fast.
You get up every day and you send out as many applications as you can and you don't hear anything back.
And you don't hear back for months.
Sydney Lynch, Alicia Weeks, and Danielle Jaffe all graduated and entered the job market either during or near the recession. It took them years to find jobs. And if you listen to them talk, you'll hear something come up again and again.
As luck would have it, an entry-level position that opened up.
That's why I'm like, I really lucked out with this job.
I have luckily enough found my true calling.
It was really like luck and chance.
Young adults who experienced a recession when they were young, they tend to believe more in luck.
Paola Giuliano teaches economics at UCLA.
The most important period for the formation of our economic preferences is between 18 and 25.
Her research finds these recession grads are less likely to take for granted the idea that success comes to anyone who works hard. They will go on to trust institutions less and believe more in the importance of government redistribution. Giuliano says it'll also affect how they deal with money.
They will invest less in the stock market and they will tend to save more.
Every 2 weeks when I get paid from work, I take that money and divide it into about 8 different savings accounts.
My family, they always call me a miser.
That could mean less lifetime return on investments. Till von Wachter teaches economics at UCLA.
There's a substantial number of people affected. The silver lining for society as a whole is that this group of people isn't a very large group of people.
Not large compared to the rest of the country, but for this generation, they bear a mark that lasts forever. I'm Sabri Benishour for Marketplace.
And every year, PNC Wealth Management does that calculation of the cost of the 12 days of Christmas. What's interesting this time is the total for Lords a-Leaping and Partridges and Pear Trees, etc., grew by way more than inflation. The 12 days of stuff comes in at about $114,600 this time. That's up 10.6% from last year, at a time that inflation generally was up just 1%. Among the components spiking are the Nine Ladies Dancing, using the Philadelphia Dance Company and the Pennsylvania Ballet as the benchmark. The cost of hiring the dancers is up 20% this season. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.